Under the Sale of Goods Act 1930, which talks about conditions and warranties. To just give you a brief insight into what this topic is about, there are several stipulations made between the seller and the buyer. Some are very fundamental and essential to the main purpose of the contract, while some are incidental or subordinate to the contract. Those which are absolutely fundamental and essential are called conditions, while those which are subordinate or incidental to the main purpose of the contract are called warranties. Well, let us now proceed into the definitions under section 12 with regard to conditions and warranties. What is a condition? Under section 12(2), it is a stipulation essential to the main purpose of the contract, the breach of which gives rise to a right to treat the contract as repudiated or broken. What is a warranty? A warranty is a stipulation collateral to the main purpose of the contract, the breach of which gives rise to a claim for damages, but not a right to reject the goods. A stipulation as to time of payment, unless specified in the contract, is not deemed to be of essence in a contract of sale. Well, to just give you what exactly this is about, a condition is a statement made by the seller unto the buyer or by the buyer unto the seller, stating that this is a clause which is very vital to the contract. If this vital condition is breached, which means it is broken, the buyer has a right to treat the contract as repudiated. What is the meaning of repudiation? A rejection of the goods. He says he no longer accepts the goods and makes a claim for damages against the seller. However, a warranty is a stipulation or a statement which is collateral or incidental to the main purpose of the contract, so that if this clause is broken by the seller, the buyer cannot reject the goods, but only raise a claim for damages. To give you a small illustration, A is an oil dealer, B a customer who happens to be a Bengali, asks him, please give me 1 liter of mustard oil. Their cooking is basically done in mustard oil, and therefore he asks for mustard oil. This is to be packed in a 1 liter container. Now, friends, you will observe there are two clauses here. One is mustard oil and one is the container. If A supplies a coconut oil or a groundnut oil or any kind of sunflower oil, B has a right to reject the goods as well as claim damages. Why? Because he has exclusively asked for mustard oil, and this is a clause which is fundamental or essential, which we in our language call it as a condition. If the oil dealer has provided with the mustard oil, however, he didn't have a 1 liter container, he had a 0.5 liter container. The oil is spilt out. Now, what is the option available with B, the customer? B, you cannot reject the goods. Why? Because the condition has been complied. What is the condition? You have already received the mustard oil. But the second clause as to the container is called as a warranty, wherein the oil dealer had packed it in a 0.5 liter cask, whereas you had asked for a 1 liter. Now, the differentiation between the 0.5 liter and the 1 liter can be claimed as damages, which we call it as warranty. So, in plain language, condition is equal to repudiation plus damages, while warranty involves only damages without rejection or repudiation under the contract. Let us now look into the 3 fundamental points of distinction between a condition and a warranty. Point number one, stipulation. A stipulation means a statement. It is essential or an essential term which must be fulfilled or complied. As I said here, the mustard oil must be complied by the seller unto the buyer. Warranty is collateral or an incidental stipulation. Remedy. A breach of condition gives right to repudiate or treat the contract as broken and also a right to claim damages. Whereas, in warranty, a breach gives right only to a claim for damages. And therefore, to put it in simple language, condition is equal to repudiation plus damages. Warranty is damages minus repudiation. Exercise of option as to treatment. A breach of condition may be treated as a breach of warranty. A breach of warranty cannot be treated as a breach of condition. Now, with regard to time, whether it is of essence in a contract of sale. Now, that would depend on the circumstances of the case wherein usually, the time of payment is not considered material. However, a time of delivery, because price fluctuates in the market and tends to rise up on a day-to-day basis. So therefore, the differentiation between the market price and the contracted price is usually claimed. And therefore, the time of delivery is usually of essence, whereas the time of payment is not usually regarded as essential to the contract unless otherwise agreed. Breach of condition by the seller, and therefore what are the remedies for the buyer? He repudiates the contract and rejects the goods, the first option. He elects to treat the breach of condition as a breach of warranty and claims damages. He waives the condition. He treats the contract as subsisting and waits till the day of delivery, or treats the contract as rescinded and sues for damages for the breach. Now, here are certain clauses under Section 13 of the Sale of Goods Act, which says, can a breach of condition be treated as a breach of warranty? Well, dear friends, you have to know, here are four areas wherein the first case is the buyer totally rejects the goods, or the second option, he elects to treat the condition as a breach of warranty, which means now, instead of accepting mustard oil, which he had insisted for, he says, it's okay, I'll take a groundnut oil. Now, if he has opted to take the groundnut oil, he cannot reject the goods thereafter. He waives the condition. What is the meaning of a waiver? A waiver means to surrender or give up the right. So when the buyer himself waives the condition and says, okay, I'm all right with any other oil, then he cannot go back to the condition and therefore is only entitled to claim damages. The fourth option, he treats the contract as subsisting and waits till the day of delivery. He tells the seller, I insist you give it to me and therefore I wait until the time you perform the contract so that in the event, of course, of the intervening period before the time of delivery, anything untoward happens, then it comes under doctrine of frustration or supervening impossibility, wherein buyer, you cannot claim damages. Of course, it's a remote possibility that could happen. And finally, the buyer treats the contract as rescinded, which means cancelled or terminated, and sues the buyer for damages. And sues the seller for damages. Implied conditions and warranties. Condition as to title. A sale by description. A sale by sample under section 17. Sale by sample as well as by description section 15. Conditions as to quality or fitness for a specific purpose. Condition as to merchantability. And condition as to wholesomeness. These are implied conditions in a contract of sale. Condition as to title. Under section 14, what does this mean? The buyer tells the seller, in a contract of sale, please ensure that property passes to me immediately. Now, what does the word property signify? The word property means ownership or title deeds. it doesn't mean goods. It means the ownership or title papers shall be given clearly, because the buyer tells the seller, if you don't have a title, I cannot claim myself to be a genuine owner. In case it is an agreement to sell, I will have the authority to sell it at a future point of time. To give you an illustration on the same, Roland versus Deval. R purchases a car from D, who is a second-hand dealer of automobiles, and this car is a stolen car. D, the seller, has given it to R, the buyer. The buyer has used it for 4 months. The genuine owner now finds that the car is with R and claims it from R. Now, R, the buyer, what is your option? You have a right to file a suit against D, the seller, rejecting the contract and claim the entire damages from D, because this is a breach of condition as to title, whereby D has sold a car which doesn't belong to him, and therefore, not being the genuine owner, R, you not only have a right to reject the goods, but also claim damages, because it's a breach of condition as to title. Sale by description. The seller describes the article to the buyer, and the buyer tells the seller, I shall go by the description that you have stated to me, and if there is a deviation between what you have described and what I have ordered, allow me to repudiate or reject the goods. There are three possibilities, my friends, in the sale by description. Clause number one, the buyer has never seen the article. What does this mean? We have a case study of Varley versus Whip. Whip, a buyer, had asked we, the seller, give me a brand new reaping machine. Reaping, R-E-A-P-I-N-G, means crops which are ripe are required to be cut by a machine called the reaper. So Mr. W had asked from we, give me a brand new reaping machine. Mr. V said, the seller, oh, it is a lovely new machine which cuts 50 to 60 acres of grass and crops. Mr. W buys the reaping machine, finds that it is old and rusted. Can W reject the reaping machine? Yes, the answer is he can, because here is an article which was sold by the seller stating that it is new, but unfortunately it turns out to be old. The second clause, the buyer has seen the article but still relies on the seller. And thirdly, the buyer has asked for packaging. He orders for 30 tins of canned juice and tells the seller, pack it for me in 5 tins or 5 packets each. The seller packs it in 10 tins together for reducing the cost. The question is, can the buyer reject the goods? Yes, because he insisted on a particular specification as regards packaging, so that he is entitled to reject the goods, being a breach of condition as to sale by description. Sale by sample. What does this mean? A small portion of the article is sent by the seller to the buyer, asking the buyer, you will inspect the sample. If you are convinced and satisfied with the sample, you can place the order for a larger bulk unto me. Now, in this sale by sample, the three important conditions are, the bulk shall correspond to the sample. The buyer shall be given an opportunity to examine the sample with the bulk. And thirdly, the goods shall be free from any defect which renders them unmerchantable. Now, friends, we have a difference here as regards defect. Defect are of two kinds, a patent defect and a latent defect. What is the meaning of patent? Patent doesn't mean any invention. It is not a discovery as we understand it in intellectual property rights. It only means any defect which is visible to the naked eye. Whereas a latent defect is one which is hidden or concealed. Seller is liable to the buyer only for a latent defect. He is not liable for a patent defect which is visible because the rule states caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. Mr. Buyer, when you are purchasing an article, examine it for yourself. You need to look into any defect which are apparent on a reasonable examination. So that seller tells the buyer, I will be responsible only for a latent defect which is hidden, but not for a patent defect. Sale by sample as well as description. The buyer tells the seller, look, you shall correspond not only to the sample, but also to the description as laid down by me. I shall give you an example here. Nickel versus Gotts. The buyer had asked for foreign refined rape oil. Now, rape oil is a kind of a mustard oil which is meant for strengthening of muscles. B had asked for foreign refined rape oil. Now, the seller had sent it according to the sample initially, but then what happened was he mixed it with hemp. Hemp, obviously, is animal fat in order to make the oil a little glossy, in order to make it have a shining effect. He mixed it with hemp or animal fat. Can the buyer reject the goods? Yes, the buyer can reject the goods because here is a deviation from the description as given by the seller. Condition as to quality or fitness for a specific purpose. This is a very important clause in a contract of sale. The seller tells the buyer under section 16, subject to the provisions of this act, there is no condition or warranty as regards quality or fitness for a particular purpose in a contract of sale. To put this in brief, seller tells the buyer, I give you no guarantee as regards the quality of my goods or its suitability for a particular purpose as regards you, the buyer. Now, question is the seller going to go scot-free in all circumstances and say, sorry, buyer, it is your responsibility? No, friends. Here are three specifications where the seller is liable unto the buyer. Clause 1. The buyer mentions the purpose specifically unto the seller and tells him, I require this article only for an end objective. Clause 1. 2. He relies on the seller's skill and judgment. The seller is a dealer in goods of that particular description. Clause 4. The buyer has to be very specific. If there are several purposes, for what purpose he requires the goods has to be mentioned. And if there is any abnormality or any kind of a skin issue that he has after, in case of a pharmaceutical item or any kind of drug, he has to make a specific mention unto the seller. I shall give you a small illustration. Baldry versus Marshall. Be a customer has asked D, the seller, give me your branded car for touring purposes. D has recommended his branded car called Bugatti, which is a branded car sold by him. D, after purchasing, finds that there is a problem with one of the gears and therefore is unfit for touring. Question is, can D return the car or reject the car with Mr. B? Yes, he can. Why? Because the purpose for touring has been mentioned by the buyer unto the seller. He said it has to be in a fit condition. He asked the seller his opinion and asked him whether it is suitable for his purpose. And the seller has recommended. Now, supposing I go to a medicine or any kind of a pharmaceutical concern or a shop. I ask him, give me a pack of Bonvita or a Complan stating that it gives me a good height or it gives me a good body weight and therefore I require this drink. Now, supposing I don't have that height with me, can it be possible that I return it back to the seller? No, friends, here you can't do. Why? Because although it is a branded article, you, Mr. Customer, has gone by the reputation of the brand. You did not ask the seller and the seller is giving no guarantee as regards the height or any kind of health issues on any branded item. So therefore, Mr. Buyer, you cannot reject the goods under specific circumstances. Condition as to merchantability. What is the meaning of merchantable? Merchantable means commercially saleable article. If there is a tube light and I purchase from a seller who is a dealer and the tube light doesn't run. I purchase a fountain pen, it doesn't write. I purchase a refrigerator, it doesn't have any cooling effect. Now the question is, seller, are you liable to the buyer? Yes, of course, you are liable because you are a dealer of those particular goods and therefore you ensure it is commercially saleable, which means it has to be running in the market as one of an adequate quality. And finally, condition as to wholesomeness. In all consumer eatables or foodstuffs, particularly under the Consumer Protection Act, Mr. Seller, you are always liable unto the consumer because the rule is consumer is the king in the market. And therefore, if this is a ruling, seller, you're always liable unto the buyer. The rule of caveat emptor doesn't hold good. Now, caveat emptor is a very, very important concept in this chapter, which says buyer beware. He tells the buyer, seller, tells the buyer, look, I don't take any guarantee as regards my goods. I don't tell you that there is any kind of a quality or fitness as far as my article is concerned, because it is you who has to ensure when you are making a purchase that you make the right choice. And therefore, if you commit a folly, if you commit an error, if you commit a mistake as regards your purchase, don't put the responsibility on me because it is you who is at fault. Let me give you an illustration. Ward versus Hobbs. H, an auctioneer, has sent 32 pigs for sale at an auction. The pigs were infected with swine flu. W purchased all these 32 pigs and being a cattle dealer, he took these pigs home and all his cattle were infected. The next day, he filed a suit with Hobbs, the auctioneer, saying, Mr. Hobbs, you had to tell me that the pigs were infected. You didn't reveal. The question is, Mr. Ward, can you succeed in rejecting the pigs or can you file a suit for damages? The answer is no, my friends. Why? In a public sale, in an auction sale, the seller is required or is essentially not required to reveal any defect in the goods. Because the rule in Contract Act is mere silence as to facts is no fraud unless it is the duty of the seller to speak. Which means, seller, if he keeps quiet, that doesn't mean he's trying to cheat the customer. So in an auction sale, you would have seen when sale is put up in several areas or on several occasions, goods once taken will not be returned back, is the rule. And therefore, we go by the same principle here, stating that the seller tells the buyer, look, once you have taken, don't return it back to me. It is your responsibility. Now the question is, can the seller go scot-free in all circumstances? No, my friends, under these circumstances, it cannot be possible. Custom or usage of trade, fraud for a specific purpose, merchantable quality. Now, custom or usage of trade. Customarily, we know that there are certain articles wherein the purpose is already incorporated or attached to the article. What do I mean by that? A perambulator, that is a pram for a child. Will an adult go and sit on it? Or will the buyer tell the seller, this pram is required to be used by me? No, it's not required because the purpose is already attached. A hot water bottle, the container is already there. I don't have to specify. So therefore, customarily or traditionally, when the purpose is already attached to the article, a false denture, an air pillow, a bottle of milk, these are illustrations wherein, even if the buyer doesn't mention the purpose to the seller, you're always liable unto the buyer. Specific purpose, as I've told you under section 16, if the purpose is mentioned by the buyer unto the seller, the seller is a dealer in hot water bottle. The buyer has told the seller, I require this hot water bottle for the purposes of fermentation. The buyer purchases the article, the hot water is poured and it breaks. Can the buyer reject? Yes, the buyer can reject because he mentioned this purpose. He mentioned or took the opinion of the seller and the seller is a dealer in hot water bottles. So therefore, having complied with all these conditions, the buyer is entitled to reject as well as claim damages. Merchantability, as we have already mentioned, in all articles which are commercially saleable, if the article is not saleable and the seller is a dealer of those particular goods, the buyer has a right to obviously reject the goods as well as claim damages. We come to the last area of fraud. Now, let me put that illustration that I had given earlier, Ward versus Hobbs, into a different situation. Friends, I had mentioned that Hobbs is an auctioneer while W is a customer in that auction. Now put the same illustration in a separate situation. Mr. Hobbs is a dealer in pigs. He exclusively deals only in pork, what we call it in the English language. He's a pork dealer. Now W, a customer, is coming and asking him, look, I require to purchase 10 pigs from you. What is the condition of the pigs? Is it fit enough to be used? Can I purchase relying on your judgment? Now, Mr. H, you are an exclusive dealer. Now, if you cheat the customer who has come exclusively to you asking your opinion, and you do not mention that the pigs are having swine flu, then this is a case of fraud. What is fraud? To deceive the person or the buyer intentionally when you know the statement is wrong. So, anything which is done intentionally with an intention to deceive the opposite party entitles the buyer to not only reject the goods but also having a claim for damages. So, well, these are the four instances where caveat emptor will not hold good, making the seller liable unto the buyer. Well, friends, I think you have understood this area on conditions and warranties. And to sum it up, condition, a statement fundamental to the main purpose of the contract. Warranty is incidental or collateral to the main purpose of the contract. A condition can be treated as a warranty. A warranty is normally not treated as a condition. We have conditions as regards title. We have a condition as to a sale by description, sale by sample come description, condition as to quality or fitness for a particular purpose, condition as to merchantability, and condition as to wholesomeness. The three implied warranties in a contract of sale are warranty as to quiet possession, warranty as to freedom from encumbrance, which means a charge, and a duty to disclose in the event of dangerous nature of the goods. And finally, we wind up with the concept of caveat emptor, which means let the buyer beware or be careful before making a purchase because he cannot blame the seller for his own folly. Thank you very much.